This is an interview with Miss Helen DeYoung, who is now 98 years old and lives at the Christian Haven home. Miss DeYoung had been the city librarian at the old Carnegie Library, which was behind then the post office, the present-day Old Kent Bank. And she was the librarian, assistant librarian, I believe she said, from 1917 perhaps until 1924, and then became the head librarian from 1924 until 1959. Her father was one of the first members of the Grand Haven life-saving team here, and later went on to become the keeper. I want to apologize for the quality of the tape. I did not have the machine close enough to her. At her age, I didn't want to disturb her to move over to the machine, but I think we can pick up at least some of it. She has a keen mind and a great memory of things in Grand Haven, so let's listen to it.
Yes.
And that was your father, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. One of those hanging around in
her
room for a long time.
Oh, that picture.
So I was sure.
You know, I came over and showed you that picture, and you said, yes, absolutely, that's the one that we've always had hanging.
One of my sisters had that
picture,
too.
I
think she gave
birth
to the museum, too.
Did she? Oh, okay. You may have more than one down there.
Yeah.
Now, I have recorded here that he was involved in a rescue of Ironsides in 1873.
I think so. Huh? I think I read it in your book.
Yes.
That it was that he was one of the crew at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, the sailors and the fishermen all lived along the river there, and while they had no stated crew, there was a people in charge of the station,
mm-hmm.
and he would call on all these people along there to help. So they were all volunteered at first.
Uh-huh.
Later on, they had a crew that stayed at the station.
Mm-hmm. Now, the station was not built until 76, I believe. So there was a time there where they didn't have any place to go.
Yes.
But of course, you don't remember your father talking about that.
No.
Yeah.
I've often wished that I had taken pencil and paper. My father was we had an older cousin who was more than Sunday night at the church. And they would pick coffee. And my father often told some of the rescuers. And some of the times they had gone out. And that's what I didn't remember at all.
Often
wish I had
copied
down some of those things.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
Yes, right. But that's about that too late. All of us do. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I'm here.
There are many people. Ever since
before,
almost four,
I believe it.
A lot of the people I grew up with.
Yes.
And I wondered who else would have the children or remember things. You know Henry Corman.
Yes, right.
He would know a lot about the business section.
Well, of course, yes, and I did. I've interviewed him,
yeah.
Talked to him, and I talked to Holly Parbeck.
Yes,
because, and of course,
they came later, of course.
Now,
Elizabeth Fisher?
Yes. Oh, yes, I've talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, of course, I talked to Claude Verdine before he died.
Yes.
And,
I didn't know so much about him.
Yes, right. Yeah, I talked to him a couple of times, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Interviewed him a couple of times. Has anyone ever interviewed you? Has anyone ever come up here to interview you from the museum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this girl a couple of years.
Yes, okay. Your dad became the keeper about 1883 or something like that. Was that it?
Something like that.
Uh-huh. You know, I used to have this book memorized.
I believe that.
Now I'm glad I wrote it, because it's a good reference book.
Yeah.
No. But as you know, being an ex-librarian, everyone hopes that they can publish the perfect book. And I don't think a perfect book's ever been published. There's always a mistake somewhere in it.
Yes.
And you didn't put up with that, I guess. Yes. Yeah, it is. It's Michigan Historical Society is the one that said they would endorse it. All right, now let's see. Well, I'd better go to the index. I hope I've got your dad in the index. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to update Leo Lilly's book from 1890 up to the present time. And he wrote that book in 1930. And I never could understand why he left that 40 years out from 1890 to 1930. But now, having written the book, the closer you get to current events, the more opinions there are around, still around, that'll give you an idea of how it ought to be written. So maybe that's why he just skipped a generation.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, when he was, and I suppose he wrote that rather early too, probably somebody suggested it to him, and it was, I don't remember when it was, but maybe before the 100 years.
Yes.
And he maybe had time on it too.
Yes.
When he was working on that, he borrowed some Pickles Ben's daughters, I think, who had copied the very, very letters.
Okay.
I don't know whatever became of them, but he asked us in the library to copy that, so he had a copy.
I see.
I don't know how to do that, what to do, but we did it anyway.
Sure.
And I think there's a copy of it. It was in the library.
In the library still.
It was a very interesting puzzle from the library of the early opening plays, and Mr. Berry was brought up, and Mrs. Berry. But it was very interesting. I enjoyed the little work that I did around that.
Helping him. Then it was a book about like this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Actually, my room used to keep it busy, and she would have those badges come down and give them the sign on different things for them. And we went through all of the state collection, pioneer collection, Michigan pioneer collection. I think there were about 9, and most of them information. And it's really good.
We have all of that in the library.
Well, I think it would be in the library. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
There is now it's called a local history room in the basement.
But that probably would be a voice to do.
But volume 9, how do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah, we knew that so much. We wanted to book out on the day. But there's one thing that I remember in the field when we were gathering. I think the soul, the old soul house was like that. I guess the soul. And then the owner gave quite a bit of that material. And when I got to this scene, was a judge, so he was a lawyer, and he must have had an office down somewhere in there. He was a buyer. But anyway, he was around there all night. He worked. And the next day after the fire, he went home and he sat down and wrote a letter to his, I think his father married. He must have been somewhere at school. And he told you all about the fire. I found that very interesting. The tree was right there and what he wrote about. That was the big fire.
They took the Cutler house?
Yes, that was wrong.
1891. What were they doing? Throwing things out?
Yeah,
trying to save them. I wonder if we still have that.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it would be, I don't know, but if you could look. I don't remember who the man was who didn't be off to the guy that was on the corner of the old Barton.
Oh, yes, right.
Would that be? And he bought that too.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember his name. But they kept the list of the years and the people who gave. Collections of things.
Uh-huh.
And it would be somewhere in that, and it was the old soul house that was at 527 Lafayette. I think it's number on the house now.
527 Lafayette. Okay.
And that was there, the soul, the home of that soul.
Okay. Now 27, that would be on.
On the north side of the street.
North side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Well, let's see, Miller Sherwood lived down the other side of the street.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it would be about in that area.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When did you become librarian?
Today?
Uh-huh.
I think it was about 1944.
Uh-huh. Now, was the Carnegie Library there at that time?
Yes. The library originally was in that old temple school that was burned in 1901.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then they dug it up again. Around 1910 to 14, they got to the Canadian building. And then they did the. But they had no school library. They went to the city library. And Wisconsin left the school library and became the library.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And she had both of them for a while. And she got the city library to stay in the school. And then that's when I remember the assistant then.
So that would have been 19...
About 1924.
But you've been working there prior to that.
Yeah.
Now, what sort of training did you need back then?
I didn't.
Not that you...
They didn't have any money.
$3,500. But that's
the everything.
That was your pay,
Well, everything, books, building, and feeds, the lights, and power, the city, everything, different kind of things.
Oh, is that right?
That much money, and they had to furnish, which is a tenth of the cost of the building.
Every year.
And of course they were about that, and that was a good fact.
How did those Carnegie grants work? The city was given the money? Were they told how?
No, I think they had it down to keep it up. At least 10% of the original cost of the building.
Now, design-wise, were they told exactly how it had to look, or did each? Yeah, I think each city had their own. You look around, and there are still some around.
And then there were some that were much bigger.
Yes, right. Yeah. Oh, was she? That was. She was a doctor. And they lived on where the Methodist Church was, where the post office now is. Isn't that right?
Yes.
They lived along in there someplace.
The kind of family they used to acquire that whole block.
It might have been.
It might have been home, I suppose.
Yeah, it probably. There, it might have been the home of a Parrish, a man by the name of Parrish. And he was involved with the phone system in the town. And I think the phone system would be on, that would be 4th Street. Or at least that was where it was before the big fire. Where they put it afterwards, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet at that time it was above Mulder's drugstore. Remember that?
Well, I know that it was there. The first that I remember was
So that would have been in the teens, 1915 to 20, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a picture of that, but no information. I've got to find out more information about telephones. Do you remember when you got a telephone?
No, the long room was much safer than that.
Yeah. You know, you stop and think about it. You can remember when there were either very few cars or no cars in town, and very few electric lights, and very few phones, and very few...
No babies in the
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
You know, I read about this old woman who was a little tired. She father I don't know when it was, but he came home and told me that I saw an automobile downtown this morning. After the winter when he was home. And I guess it was the first time he had seen my father.
And you could
remember?
Well, would you have been in school or? Well, you were home.
What I know is most of those grandkids and things like that.
I know it, Well, I have trouble. From week to week, I have trouble. Let alone thinking back 80 years.
Well, that's right, too.
You're how old now? You were born when?
You, 94.
94. Okay. So you're going to be 100. 98. Yeah, you will. Willard Scott.
I didn't think I'd even get that year.
Yes.
I was thankful that they would take me back.
Yeah. This is a nice place.
They didn't know when I liked it. But I liked it. It was up in the corner. I could see. It was just a nice view. It was small, but I didn't mind that.
You were a librarian then from 24 until about 54 or
59.
And we had we just moved into the new, when did we move into the new building? The new library, I've got that information, I can't remember, it would have been about 1960. Two or three or four, somewhere in there. Lisa? Yes. Yes, right. Well, that's interesting that you say it. Your dad said he saw a car. Apparently there weren't many around or else he wouldn't have commented on it.
I remember when I was going to draw that. And it was, I think, in the Salvation Army was that building for years.
Okay.
I think it was a building where this mother was. And he said, I thought he took it to see that. And it was a little like jerky.
It was the first one. And it was silent. No sound.
I don't remember that silent. I don't think it had any.
The Vaughn Depth.
I think that was the name of it.
Now, I wonder, was that the name of the theater or the name of the movie that you saw?
The name of the theater.
Oh, it was, okay.
That same building was used by the Salvation
Army. Yeah, it was called the Orpheum for a while.
Yeah.
And then it was changed to Vaudette, perhaps.
Maybe Vaudette, maybe that's wrong, I don't know.
There was a temple theater also. Temple was, that was where Fortino's is now. That was out, the present Cook's Hardware?
No.
Oh, that was the Crescent Theater, yes.
I don't know about the temple.
That burned down in sometime in the 20s, the Temple Theater. And then Louis Fortino put up those buildings that are now there. And he was just a fruit peddler at that time. He must have been very industrious, though.
Yes, he was a nice man. was in food somewhere outside, you know, he said, he'd all look at the man of the black and tired on the outside. You know, you would see it was just gone. He says, now that is the man that you should be the man.
Sure, that's true. Yeah, wasn't as pretty as the others, but it was right. Yeah, it's probably right. You know, the one thing that amazes me about facilities in Grand Haven and many small towns, a person could walk. Where did you live at that time? Where was your home when you were growing up?
I was born at the foot of 11th Street.
Oh, Clinton, down on the Grand River.
Yes.
Okay. Is that the dairy?
The house where the airplane.
Oh, yes, okay, very good.
That was the same house.
Oh, is that right? That was your home.
No, I was born there, but I think I was around 6 when my mom was crossing the library now.
Okay.
It's the one house that's standing that's been remodeled and renovated across from on Columbus Street.
On Columbus.
Across from the Lava Library. Mm-hmm. It's the only house.
Okay. Oh, yes, okay. Now I know what you mean. Okay. That home has been redone recently. Looks very nice.
Yes, it does. It's a nice house, too.
Well, what I was going to say is that from there, for example, you folks could pack up your bags and walk just one block and get on the interurban, and you could go anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a system like that anymore.
No, the interurban did
service
purpose.
Sure. Yeah, that was the demise of the interurban system.
Yes.
We gained our freedom, but we lost something in the process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was sliding. Well, I thought you were talking about sliding. They always talk about sliding on Second Street.
You would have enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
They used to the top of the street that they used to the top of the hill. And they
would
start there and go down. I don't know how far past Washington Street, but a couple of blocks anyway sometimes. And the boys would get busy in the afternoon and put some water on it. So
an accident.
Yeah.
I've been told that, yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes good sense.
It wasn't much. You made your own time. really in the rain.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing happening to them. There was nothing to them. I kind of like,
that's all right. It's all right. I have the same problem. I know what you mean. Well, it becomes the evolution of things. You know, what would you have had that would have been comparable in your day, a nursing home? Didn't have anything like that.
Nothing. The family took care of
me. Sure. Then, too, physicians made house calls.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
And they would come every day
to
see if
sure. Yeah. And you didn't have the number of physicians either.
Mm-hmm.
We have almost, I've forgotten the number now, I know we have 16 or 17 dentists, so I bet we have at least 30 physicians in town. Didn't have those kind of numbers when you were growing up. Probably had two or three physicians take care of the whole town.
Yeah.
All the broken bones and
everything, whatever it been.
Yeah. Electric lights. Do you remember when you got electric lights in your home? That's right, and you use coal, probably, in the furnace.
Mm-hmm. Coal, and you bought potatoes enough to lose it, too, for a while anyway. I'm going to go shoot the potatoes and put it in for the winter then.
Yeah.
And about halfway through, you have to get through the money and get out the sprouts.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Yeah, the eyes.
And you didn't buy
Even pineapple.
My mother used to put up citron. You never see citron anymore. I think it goes probably on the southern side of the country. So once in a while I see it. Or you can buy it, you must go somewhere else. But you can buy it dried too, you know, like the mixed fruits.
Oh yes, right.
You can buy it. That was on the hamburger. And they were about round, more round like this,
I don't, and that doesn't ring a bell with me. I can't place it. Oh, yeah. I remember the vegetable that we had that you can still buy, but you don't hear much about it, is rutabaga. Mm-hmm. Remember them?
I like them.
Me too. Oh, I still like them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
That's about it. You have to.
Yeah.
Oh, it did wait here. Yeah. Okay. And that's one of the vegetables that would keep, too.
Yeah.
That, like potatoes, you could keep that for some time. I remember my mother would have two or three rutabagas out on the back porch where it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow them too?
I don't think so. No. We didn't grow them. We bought them in the store. But then maybe there was a short season for them. And so she would buy them and store them.
Farmers used to come around too. And everything door to door. I remember when the Sheffield brothers used to do that when they first came. They'd come in there in the summertime with a big wagon.
Now, those are the same Sheffields that are here today.
I think so.
They went into the...
They lived home. We lived for a while. They used to be in front of the big store for a while.
Mm, okay, yes.
But that was, I think, three or four stores.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. And it stretched around the corner.
Yes.
I believe. It went up Columbus and then around
Third. After a while, But then they had one store that was for men, and another part of it was for young girls.
Right.
And maybe it was ready to wear, but he didn't find so many ready to wear. He usually bought the goods and made it yourself, or got somebody to show for you.
That's something.
Things that changed.
Oh, yes, right. Even suits, maybe not men's. Yeah, even suits. Well, that was a skill that maybe many housewives had. The skill to make dresses, I'm sure they could. But to make a suit, that would be quite an undertaking.
That would be a hard thing to do. I want many men's
favors. And how about sewing machines? You did.
Mm-hmm.
A treadle.
And my sister kept that too. She liked it. She didn't want it, but finally she did.
Uh-huh. New Hope.
A new child.
That was the name of it, the New Hope?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not a singer.
Yeah. I guess
Where was the food store you would go to? In your the food store?
Yeah.
For your food in your neighborhood there?
They were from the one side of the big store.
Okay.
But that was later, too. I don't remember. Mr. Jordan and Bob had a little grocery store. But I don't think he sold me. But Ed Peterman was in the middle of that block somewhere about where Tim and Jerry.
That's okay. Shoe store. And Ed Kinkema had a,
I think he was a brother to Harry Kinkema, who was called the William H. Lovett.
No?
On the special sacrifice.
Yes.
But he was the best one. I know it was.
That was a food store, too. He's 80 some years old now. John Van Skelton was one that had a lot. He did. Yeah. He was fun to talk to. Elliott, okay. That's right where the Interurban went down, 3rd Street.
Yes.
Well,
they turned off at 3rd Street to Fulton.
Okay.
Fulton to 7.
Well, that is it.
And they turned off and
on to Fulton. Okay, that's where the boy was hit, or where the two collided.
Mr. Stephen. Stephen is shaken.
Yes.
Had a midnight at 2. Washington Street, but nearer the river. And they cover the next block from between 1st and 2nd.
Okay.
Mr. Seifert, his daughter was married to Dr. Aaron Bin.
Oh, of course. Okay. Yes, well, I knew Aaron Bin. Aaron Bin is the one who Bill Creason took his practice over when Aaron died. Yeah. I didn't know him. He died, must have been about 1946 or 7. I didn't.
Very nice. Very nice people.
Yes, must have been. Oh, and you said you had to make your own entertainment.
What is so?
What?
Well, I was growing up, but maybe we were batching them, but I don't know, not so much across social people. We made a home, we had a bunch of family, and we stayed in. And we had a home, and school was, and we did well for Halloween, and not Halloween.
Is that right? Yeah. How many in the family? Survived them all, did he?
Second half of the interview with Helen DeYoung, who is 98 years old, and it was taped February 11th, 1992. Once again, I want to apologize for the quality of the recording, because the machine was some distance from Helen, but I think some of it still comes through. Fascinating when you consider that she was born in 1894, prior to the days when there was any of the conveniences that we know today, including the automobile, electricity, and so forth. We pick up this interview, Claude Van Couvering, who is a president of the board of directors of the Christian Haven Home, came into the room. So you're going to hear his voice first, and I chat him just a little bit about the fact that I'll be around to interview him when he gets old enough. So let's pick up the interview at this point. Interviewing?
Oh!
You'll know when I come to interview you that you have one foot in the grave. That's, people don't like to see me coming.
Are you writing another book? I can't afford it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I loaned Helen your book.
Oh, did you? Oh, good.
And that occasioned another sale.
She said,
my commission, please.
Well.
Good to see you, Dave.
Good to see you, Claude. Yes.
I didn't know how to put the end of the world.
I don't think you are.
I don't know.
I think he was just kidding.
I ran to stay, so I didn't worry about it.
Now, you were saying the ship did go down, did it?
It went down.
Uh-huh.
And there were four people on board. They had a crew of two and a crew captain for that day. The bridge burst. And they rolled.
Uh-huh.
And they tied the bus so that they couldn't use the bus. And the boat went down. They were that. And four men picked up another boat. And so, and this is and all the next day, they came ashore, just now, but the next day, and when one of my sisters, she worked with me, somehow she was home that day, she was not feeling well, and she kept telling my mother, the boat went down, but they're all right, But the book went down.
Go in the Coast Guard, or?
My oldest brother did. And he was on the, he was at the Ruddington, I think. And he was a field worker. He had the car there on the lake, on the beach. And all the currents from the north, and even especially if those schooners and the Michigan storms can be friendly for the kids. And unless they would get it, if the right current, they could make through the harbor. But if they couldn't, they'd either go to the north or to the south or the piers and run up the beach. They'd run in and lose their deck load.
Yes.
But they could be pulled off again after the storm.
And the crew could be saved, too.
But, my younger brother, he came here and he was on the water, but he was a marine engineer.
Oh.
He had very good papers. During the First World War.
Oh.
He couldn't be in the army. He was a his Navy. But he was not an engineer, and he had good papers. He sailed the ocean. He left around Finland, the North Sea, and they put down as far as Argentina. And so he put in his kind of an amateur at that too.
Oh, it was during the war.
At the war, he came back to the lake and was on the car ferries.
On the Grand Trunk car ferries? I wonder if he was involved in the disasters of 1929. Now, did your father do anything after leaving the Coast Guard? Was he in business?
He bought into a commercial fisher.
Okay.
And after that, he was 70, I think. But that was the, after he left the lake, he went into the fishery and that was.
What fishing team did he?
It was much better than it is now.
Oh, yes. But what? Oh, sure. But what group was he with? Was it the DeYoung Fishing Company, or did he go with Dornbos, or I know the Face brothers were very Captain a ship for them, or wonder what his job was. Did he go out and set the nets and do all of that work?
They go out in the morning with the go out one day, I guess, and set them, and then they go back to the bathroom and pull them in. Then, of course, they get in, they have to be cleaned, and then sent all the way.
And they didn't have any fancy way of cleaning them. They had to do it by hand. Now, when your father was, of course, you can't remember. You weren't born when he was keeper, of course.
Yes.
When he was keeper of the lighthouse. You were not born until 94, you said,
1894.
No, I think. Probably when I was born, he was a sailor. Uh-huh.
I don't remember when he was a fisherman.
He was a sailor out here on the lakes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Quite a deal of the nets that the book said, lifesaving service.
Oh, yes.
I think those are in the museum.
Oh, is that right? Uh-huh. Yeah, I may have seen some of those then. I perhaps have, and didn't realize they came from him. Yeah. Well, he would. When he was on the ship, he'd be gone for some time, then, wouldn't he? He'd be gone for days at a time.
No, I don't think so. I don't know how far out or how far out. I think they would set them one day and then leave them.
Oh, for fishing? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They didn't go out for weeks at a time.
Okay. Well, the Carberries were a prominent part of the scene here. You remember those, don't you? The Carberries.
They always
Alabama. Sure, that was, it was luxury cruising. Well, when you were working in the library, you were the first lady's assistant. Did you have an assistant then?
Yes.
You did. What was her name again, Margaret?
Van
Lu. Okay. Van Lu. Okay. At Cloud. So she did. Was a librarian with you?
She was on the staff. They had much more over there. Three at the most.
Yes.
And probably one of those they part time. We didn't have that much money at that time.
No. You know who? Marge Barnard. Marge Barnard. Do you know Marge? Barnard. Barnard. Doesn't ring a bell. Her husband, George Barnard, was... Sure. That's who she is. Yes, she was. Mm-hmm. Well, she's been very involved in setting up a genealogic section of the library. And there's quite a group that works there.
Yeah. I read about that in the paper. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Alex Haley died 2 days ago or so. And he's the one that turned everyone on to determining what their ethnic background is.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is very popular. They have a, in fact, every issue of the Tribune can be seen in there on microfilm. Mm-hmm. You ever seen how microfilm works? You crank it through the machine and it comes up on a screen? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Yes.
Belongs to that old family, that one of the fishing families.
Oh, yes, okay. Now, where would Marie Obeck fit in there?
Marie would be Marjorie's aunt, I think. Her one sister was Anna, I think she was a school teacher.
Oh, yes. So, okay.
Marie was the youngest, I think, of that family. Mm-hmm. Marie Obeck.
Yes, right, yeah. Yeah, she hasn't been gone long either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe 10 years. I can't remember just how long. But,
I don't think I had the family. Mm-hmm.
As a teacher?
I think this way.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. She's a good teacher, too.
Yeah. Well, now you do. That was a central school.
Mm-hmm. I went to the commissary school. North of the...
Oh, yes.
North of Washington and west of
That would be about it. Yeah.
All of them in that district went to the school.
What are the...
It was a three-room school.
Uh-huh.
There were four grades. So I think in the first grade... I had a missed grade. which you know that I've been a very teacher. I can't think of a first name. And then my friend Murray Ingram had the second grade and third grade. And I was friendly at fourth grade. And then the third grade, you went to September 4th.
Okay. So that jumped through. Now there were some kids that went to kindergarten. Was there a kindergarten when you were growing up? Who was your second and third grade teacher again?
Ingram.
What other schools were there? There was a Beechtree school, wasn't there?
I'm sure there was. It was earlier, I think. There was a Jackson Street school.
I've heard of that.
One school. I think the Beechtree was probably about the one. There was a white school. They called it the white school, but now whether that was
the colored or
Miss Mary Ann White.
I see.
Or whether it was pink white. But that was in the corner of where the school was. It was on the 6th and
Clinton?
And Clinton.
Okay.
They stopped there and didn't go through.
Yeah.
But it was on that corner of the school lot.
Okay, they called it.
I don't think it was used as school when I knew it.
It started out to be. It was called the Union School when it was first built, and they used it until the Central School was built. But then they probably just sat there.
I don't know whether they still use it as a school.
Yeah.
And then I think that they had a school, an ungraded place, but it was good. Why they had that, I don't know whether it was for discipline or whether they just were the school learners.
And
that was somewhere, not in a special building, but it was in some other building.
Don't know where that was, though.
I think it was on Portland Street, but I don't know for sure.
Correct.
I don't think it was used for very long either. I couldn't tell you who thought there.
Well, the story that Paul Johnson tells is about a lady by the name of Soule, who was a school teacher.
Julia?
Julia Soule. Now, was she your contemporary, or was she a teacher?
No, she was a teacher. She was the daughter of Edmund Judge Soule.
Okay, that's
it. She and her sister Mary were both teachers. But as I remember Mary, she taught music. And she was not in Van Halen, I guess she was teaching somewhere else. And Miss Julia, I think, taught somewhere else, probably. But when I remember her, she had come back, and I think she taught in high school. But then, for a while, we had a one-year course for girls who didn't go to college, she took care of that one-year normal school. And then Lawrence Vandenberg said that she was
And it was right here? It was here in town?
Yes.
Where did she?
I didn't teach.
Where was it located? It's the building.
In Central School.
Oh, I see.
Right next to the principal's office. It was the superintendent's office.
Uh-huh.
And maybe there were not as many as 15 or 16 girls. And they did their practice teaching right in the lower grades in Central School.
Sure.
And at the end of the college, they were teaching in the country school. I don't know if it was for 1 year, but I think it would be a full stop for 3 years. Then they could get a license to pay for it.
Then they could teach anywhere?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And could go on teaching. But otherwise, I think it was for 1 year.
For just 1 year, and then it had to be renewed. And then they got tenure after 3 years.
And I don't know how many years that was there.
So that would have been your post-high school year, so that would have been, if you're born in 94, that would have been about 1914. What, when you were growing up, was the Akeley Hall here, was it functioning then?
Yes.
Snobbish bunch in town? You know, when you mentioned Yerkes, you brought to mind something. The Yerkes both lived in Cardoma Lodge. And you know where Cardoma is?
The Methodist church is across the street.
I know what you mean. Sure. I'll bet it was kind of down in a sunken area. Okay, that's where
Frank. Garden house.
Okay.
Now I don't know whether they both lived there or not. Because they were in this certain order to that.
Yes, Lake Avenue and Woodlawn.
And Woodlawn.
Right. She lived there.
Was it Jack, Mr. Susan, then?
I don't know.
Or whether they both lived I'm telling you, though, they do that, though.
Yeah, that's kind of a mysterious little setting down in there. Yeah.
I know they get in the McMahon, and I said, she gave a lot of quite a few books. But I had to go and get, I had to go and put them all the first. And they were right across from Central Park, and they loved to, before breakfast, I think, they would, you'd see them all over the back, all around the, and they'd walk the 4 blocks around the corner back to school.
He said, right.
And then they had roller skates mostly. And in the springtime, they were all out there with roller skates. We lived at the corner there.
Sure, you did.
Just across the back there. Yeah. I've often seen them. But no, they weren't the local people. The local people, some of them could be a real thing. The State University, which was that day, the cultural state.
Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State. Later, we had a Michigan Community College. But most of the people were wrong. They played something like that, but they didn't offer to high school. This is my chance. Some dreams, some got that even before
eighth grade. But in eighth grade was a fair education back then.
Yeah.
You could read, write.
Well,
which church did you go to? The First Reformed. Were the sermons in Dutch? Do you remember the sermons being in Dutch, or weren't they in Dutch then?
I didn't listen. I'm sorry. I've often wished that I had listened more. And learned more of that thing.
Yes.
You know, a few words and that's it.
Did your father speak it?
Well, yes, my parents both spoke it. But of course, they learned English. My father came as a young man before. My mother is a small child. I don't know how much, but she knew the language. And then mostly when we were young, that they thought that when they didn't want to do. And I didn't pay any attention. Too bad.
Yeah, didn't learn it.
You don't always know what the time is.
Yeah.
Well, that's hindsight again.
Sure. Well, listen, I'm taking a lot of your time. Do you take a nap in the afternoon?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm just thankful for you.
Well, I don't blame you. This is a nice setup. This is your furniture, isn't it? Your furniture?
No.
Oh, it isn't?
Well, this was a special table and the desk. I had brought that to my own room.
Yes. What was the number in Lafayette?
608. Swarovski's, you know, that part of, and Mrs. Silver Swarovski often had the open house, you know, when they were made sure and that.
Oh, yes, okay. And that was your home?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's across. But would that be right across from Baker?
No.
Baker Lincoln?
No, you know the Jacobson house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, on that side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Okay. Sure, I know which one it is then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Andersons. Down? Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah, I think they're one of the Harvey houses.
Okay.
I think there were three houses. They were one for the Harvey. Then they were not that bad. And the
house was
they have a round porch.
They do.
And then the next one was they belong to the Pat family. John Pat, they were
would that be Cliff Pat's father?
Cliff. John Pat.
Uh-huh.
John Pat's father.
Okay.
I think he was two or three houses. Wasn't there another one? Happy Street, I think, was the about for the river. I think that was a bad house.
Okay. But the Harbecks had three houses?
I think that's the neighbor to the Harbecks.
Oh, I see. Okay. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was a Cap Harbeck, they called him. He was involved in the corn planter
business. Yes, I'm fond of them.
Uh-huh. And then, of course, the Gene that is now dead, and then there's still a Gene living.
Yes.
And they were in
the son of the one that was with Mr. Anderson. That was.
Okay, that's it. Well, I'll let you get back to your...
I don't...
Oh, this has been fun. This has been very interesting.
Well,
yeah. This is fun. Fun just to chat. What I'll have to do when I sit down to diagnose all of this or to interpret it all, I'll have to go through and listen and then type out what looks like it'll be interesting.
You let me gather so much material before you...
The research, and it would, that's the problem. If you become so involved in it, the research is never done. You never get enough information. There are always one more story to be told.
That's right.
Yeah. So you just have to say. Well, it's going to take some time, I'll tell you that. Dottie and I went to kindergarten together. She knows how to spell, thank goodness, and I don't. So she's the one that did all the editing here.
I'm glad you have her.
Yeah, I am too.